Shalom. This is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Britain Broadcasting, Israel, in association with Kosher 101.9 Radio around the world. Goes out from Carlsbad, New Mexico, USA. We are speaking to you from Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. The subject of our talk today is to give you another overview of the book of Amos, especially as it concerns us, especially as it concerns the people of the USA today and the Jews of the State of Israel and related nations. We in Brit Am have the mission of informing the world, especially people in America and related nations, as to the whereabouts of the Lost Ten Tribes. The Lost Ten Tribes today are to be found primarily in Western nations. Also in Western nations, if they have their tribal Israelite expression as defined by the Bible. Our task is to inform the world of this fact, to do research on it, to do research about it, to clarify it, and to bring the attention of the public to our findings, and also to work for the ultimate reconciliation between Judah, meaning the present-day Jews, and Joseph, who represent all of the Lost Ten Tribes. We are, in this present talk, giving you an overall view of the book of Amos. We will not dwell on any particular point. In the future talks, God willing, we will give a more detailed explanation of each and every verse pertinent to our overall subject. And now we're just going to give an overall view in a limited amount of time. And we'd like to whet your appetite, as if to say, show you what there is, what can be discussed, what aspects are interesting. Show that there's something of great interest in the book of Amos. The book of Amos is one of the books of the prophecy in the Bible. Amos himself, according to his own testimony, was both a rancher. He's a rancher of beef, of cows. He kept cows. He's a rancher of beef. And as well as that, he also had orchards. He had orchards of sycamore figs, a type of figs. That in those times, in the biblical era, figs were an important part of the everyday diet. There were figs were quite important, and not only for their nutritional value, but also for their medicinal value. They had all kinds of medicinal. They had all kinds of qualities. Figs apparently have all kinds of qualities. They can heal all kinds of diseases. They can improve general function of the body. And in those times, people were aware of this, and they used them for such purposes. Amos prophesied primarily about the northern kingdom of Israel, even though Amos himself came from the southern kingdom of Judah. His primary emphasis was on the kingdom of Israel. Already in the time of Amos, the tribes of Israel had been divided into two sections. There was the kingdom of Judah in the south, centered around Jerusalem, and the kingdom of Israel in the north. Kingdom of Judah in the south consisted of the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, as well as representative minority proportions from all the other tribes. From the kingdom of Judah descend most of the present-day Jews of today. And in the Bible, they are referred to as Judah. In prophecy, Judah represents the present-day Jews. In the north, the kingdom of Israel consisted of 10 tribes. In the Bible, they are referred to as Israel, the kingdom of Israel, or as Ephraim, or as Joseph. And sometimes other terms also used to apply to them. We have to judge by the context of the verses, of the expressions used, as to what the applications are. From this northern kingdom of Israel descend the lost 10 tribes of Israel. This northern kingdom of Israel was conquered by the Assyrians. Its inhabitants were taken into exile. They lost knowledge of their identity. They lost consciousness of their ancestry. and they were dispersed amongst the nations, but remained together more or less in coherent whole, as a coherent, as in coherent, cohesive bodies of ethnic groups that moved to the west. They moved to Western nations. From there, their descendants populated North America, populated Australia, New Zealand, and in part South Africa and related nations. So that, and Amos spoke concerning these people. He spoke concerning these 10 tribes of Israel. That is one point. Another point is that Amos, like all the other prophets, flits back and forth between his own times or in a period shortly after him, and in the far distant future to the end times. And we believe we are in the end times. So, but we have to judge. We have to play around with it. Not play around with it. When we appreciate the verses of Amos, we have to take into consideration that he is referring both to his own times and to the future. And sometimes a description of something happening in his own time was contemporary with him is actually intended to be a prototype for some things, the other things that would happen in the future. And by reading the verse carefully, we may discern this. Amos says that Damascus will be punished for devastating the Israelite area of Gilead, east of the Jordan River. Gilead was in the present-day area of Jordan, country of Jordan, and Syria. Both of these areas belong to Israel. They should be Israelite. They are Israelite territory. They are now occupied territory. The Arabs of Jordan and Syria are legal occupants. They are squatters on our land. And they should be encouraged to leave it. The descendants of the inhabitants of Gilead, to an important degree, settled in the USA, especially in the west and the southern areas. And they determined the character of those regions. As we have explained in our book, Joseph, you may go to our website, britam.org, and there you will find a lot of articles and research material on these subjects. You'll also find our publications that we have advertised there quite prominently. You can look them up, read through the description of these publications, and you should order them, because we give a lot of information that you will not find elsewhere, and information that is important, and information that affects you, and information that can be verified and that is true and is the biblical truth. Amos continues. He says that the people of Aram, translated in the King James of Syria, they will be exiled as captives, as well as the same way as the Jews and the Israelites were exiled, so too were the people of Aram. The Philistines of Gaza will be punished for taking captives and turning them over to Edom. The same applies to the inhabitants of Ashdod, Ashkelon, Ekron, and the rest of the Philistines. See Amos 1:6. And the people of Tyre, in Hebrew, Tzor, was now in the region of Lebanon. It was a major Phoenician city. They once had a brotherly alliance with Israel. In the time of King David and King Solomon, the Phoenicians of Tyre were in alliance with Israel, and David and Solomon, and later other Israelite and kings of Judah, used their services, and they were on friendly terms. Afterwards, however, when the Assyrians conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, both the Phoenicians of Tyre and the Philistines of the cities that we mentioned, Ashdod, Ashkelon, and Ekron, assisted the Assyrians. They were conquered by the Assyrians, but after being conquered, they assisted the Assyrians and they helped them transport Israelites in their ships across the seas to Spain, to Portugal, to British Isles, and to Gaul, the present-day area of France. And those Israelites who were in Spain and Portugal, on the whole, moved to the north, into Gaul, into France, and into the British Isles. And this is reflected in Irish legends and in archaeology, and we have done quite a bit of work on this in our publications. You may see the research we have done on this subject, also on our website there are various articles about it, and also in the past we have given talks briefly discussing these facts. This describes what Amos has just described as how the Philistines and the Phoenicians assisted the Assyrians in transporting Israelites by sea overseas. It reflects an historical situation that happened in the past. It's important that we know it. By knowing it and researching it, we can also verify the Israelite ancestry of the peoples in question. In addition to taking the Israelites overseas, the Assyrian, or having them sent overseas by their Philistine and Phoenician proxies, the Assyrians took most of the Israelites overland and resettled them in the area of the Assyrian Empire, especially in regions such as Armenia and the Caucasus, but also other regions. And from those areas emerged the Scythians, the Goths, the Cimmerians, and later on the Khuzars. And most of them also, in the course of time, moved to the north and to the west and into Europe. An offshoot of the Khuzars, incidentally, moved into Scandinavia and from there to Scotland. And they were instrumental in determining certain aspects of the character of the Pict people in Scotland. We have written a book on this subject. Getting back to Amos, Amos goes on. And he says that Moab will be punished in verses 1 to 2. And then he says that the Jews of Judah will be punished for not learning and for not keeping the Torah. Jews of Judah must keep the Torah, then they must learn. God wants the Jews to learn the Torah. And the Orthodox Jews do. Today in the state of Israel, 32,000 men learn the Torah full time, or almost full time. And many, very many more learn it part-time, an hour a day, 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day, and they learn it at quite a serious level. There are exceptions, there are those who pretend to learn and do not, but on the whole, you would be surprised that they really do learn it, and they learn it in great intensity, and this is one redeeming light, one redeeming factor in the present situation. They in effect are our emissaries, they are our agents. They are doing this for the sake of all of Israel, and they are helping all of Israel, all Israelite peoples, by doing this. And if they do not do this, they will be condemned. And Amos has the Almighty condemned those Jews who do not do it. God wants the Jews to learn Torah. The northern Israelites, on the other hand, according to Amos 2:6, will not be punished because they did not learn Torah, because this was not something that they were so built for. It's not something that they had a built up a tradition, a habit. It was not something in their character so much. They will be punished for their lack of law enforcement and for their lack of social justice and for exploiting the poor and the vulnerable. That's what Amos says. They will also be punished for lack of family propriety and sexual immorality. Now Amos is talking directly about the lost 10 tribes. About the tribes of Israel, the people in America, the people in Britain, people in Australia, New Zealand, the people in South Africa, the Dutch and the British there, people in Switzerland, France, Holland, Belgium, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Iceland, and Finland. All of them, all these peoples constitute the majority of the Lost Ten Tribes. We do not say that all the inhabitants of those areas belong to the Lost Ten Tribes. And in our time, especially the USA is especially important for several reasons. And in the USA, a good portion of the people do belong to the Lost Ten Tribes, but not all of them, possibly only a minority, a substantial minority, a larger minority, 30%, 40%, 50%, perhaps 60%, who knows. It is a substantial minority, according to the Bible, and it is a minority that has determined the national characteristics. Nevertheless, it is not necessarily the majority, and it's definitely not all other peoples in those countries. But the peoples in those countries, the Lost Ten Tribes amongst them, will be punished because in the end times they will not have gone in the path that God wanted them to do. They will be punished for the lack of family propriety and sexual immorality and for business dishonesty. See Amos 2:8. Amos then said that how he had destroyed the Amorites, who were tall and strong, and he gave their land to Israel, 2:9-10. And also, we should be thankful that God gave us the lands we now dwell in, and he helped us. And for instance, America drove out, took over the lands of the Red Indians, whether rightly or wrongly in some cases, but they did take over those lands, and these peoples were strong, they were healthy, they were fierce, savage, mighty warriors. Maybe as individuals better fighters than those who come up against them, I don't know, we cannot say. Or perhaps some can say, but at all events, the Almighty enabled the Israelites who came in to take over their lands. In the same way as God allowed the Israelites to take over the land of Canaan from the Amorites and the Canaanites. And Amos condemns us for not remembering that and for not being grateful to the Almighty for having given us the land of these peoples. The young people of Israel, says Amos, were often inspired to go in the right path, but we made them turn aside. The young people sometimes are looking for the right path, they're looking for inspiration. They have a type of arousal, and we do not always encourage them in the right way. Sometimes we discourage them, and we are condemned for that. See Amos 2, 11, 12. Amos says that knowledge of God was pushed aside by us, and we hid it away as if it was something we wished to hide and lose, 2, 13. So we should be aware. Be aware of dampening the enthusiasm of your children, because the Almighty condemns Israel for doing this. In the day of punishment, all our military preparations will not help us. Our warriors will flee away naked, 2:14, 2:16. Perhaps they will flee away naked because of their garments, their armor will be infected or radioactive, activated. Today we can easily imagine scenarios where this could happen, where as a result of radioactivity or biological warfare, people strip off their clothes and run. It's the only way they can survive. And this is prophesied as to what would happen. God Almighty is the God of Israel, and only unto us has he made himself known. Only unto the Israelites has God made himself known. That's what God himself says in the Bible. It says in the Bible, Amos 3:2, only unto the Israelites has God made himself known. There's no such thing as Islam. There's no such thing as other people having known the Almighty. Only Israelites have known the Almighty. And because only we have known the Almighty, should have known the Almighty. The Almighty made himself available to us to know him. And because of this, we are liable to be punished as Amos. We are liable to be punished especially more. Because we had a greater opportunity than the others. And we should have been closer to the Almighty than the others were, than we were. Special favors and protection were shown unto us. And we have correspondingly extra obligations that we did not keep. Everything that will happen is written in the Bible. See Amos 3:7. The prophet Amos calls to the non-Israelite nations to repent, as well as to the Israelite ones. Amos calls to both the non-Israelite heathen Gentile nations to repent, and also to the Israelite nations. See Amos 3:9. Violence and robbery and dishonesty are to be condemned. Amos 3:10. Only a remnant of Israelites from Samaria and Damascus will be saved. See Amos 3:12. You see here that Israelites will also be in Damascus. Whatever Damascus, Damashak, represents in the symbolic language of Amos. The women folk of the Israelites of Bashan and Samaria, with their exorbitant demands and wasteful lifestyles, cause their husbands to make dishonest gains that reduce the livelihood of others who cannot afford to lose what is taken away from them. Okay, I read that through quite fast. A lot of you, because of my accent and because of my manner of speaking, may not have exactly understood what we just said. Amos in 4:1 condemns the women of the Israelites in Bashan and Samaria, because they were nagging their husbands, they were taking it out on their husbands, they were demanding that their husbands supply them with rich foods, with a luxurious lifestyle. And the same happens today. Women sometimes drive us crazy for all kinds of things we can't afford. And their husbands were going out and trying to get the money and trying to get what they're trying to satisfy the desires and the demands of the women folk. And in doing so, they were not exactly honest. They took advantage of others. They reduced the livelihood of others. And because of that, they will be punished. The Israelites, in this case, Amos is talking about the lost 10 tribes, or the 10 tribes of Israel in Bashan and Samaria and related and the other regions of the north, just before these Assyrians exiled them. This was the state of affairs, but it could also be applied to our times. And there's a principle that all the prophecies in some way or other were applicable to the end times. And this happens today. Amos goes back to describing the exile of the Israelites. He said that the Israelites were to be exiled in three stages, in several stages. One portion was to be taken overseas, different types of shipping vessel. So he mentioned that. We mentioned that the Philistines and the Phoenicians, who were great trading nations, great sailing nations in ancient times, did, in the service of the Assyrians, take the Israelites overseas. Incidentally, the Phoenicians, it's well known that they travelled all over the world in ancient times, that they were the primary seafarers in ancient times. It's not so much known about the Philistines. The people whom we call the Philistines were actually bearers of Minoan civilization, usually associated with Crete, but also actually that of the Cyprus and of the Philistine area. And Gaza, the Philistine city, was also known as Manoah because they were related to the Minoans of Crete. And we have found in the region of Frisia, northern Germany, Minoan remains. Definite Minoan remains and other indications that the Minoans were also in those areas. The Minoans did range far and wide in their ships and were very important. And they, alongside the Philistines, did participate in exiling the Israelites, and they did so in the service of Assyria. Amos continues. Another portion of the Israelites were to be taken overseas to other regions in Amos 4:3, and he mentions in the Aramaic translation the area of Armenia, which was very important. And see our work, see all of our books on this subject, but especially our new work on the Khuzars, which goes into this in a bit more detail. The Israelites were going to Bethel and Gilgal and engaging in both Hebraic and pagan practices at one and the same time. See Amos 4:4-5. The Israelites, as Amos describes them and as other portions of the Bible describe them, were adopted a form of religion that combined a mosaic, the traditions of Moses, the Hebraic traditions, the commandments of the Almighty, together with Canaanite customs. They made a mixture of them, and we find the similar religion later on practiced by the Celts in the West, and by the Druids in Britain and Ireland, and in Gaul. God, says Amos, had begun to punish the people, but they did not return to him. See Amos 4:6. The beginning of retribution. God had begun to punish the people by way of local disasters. One location would suffer visitation, another not. Amos 4:7 to 11. These are all warnings. And so these were warnings. As God, you know, even now in America, when you have earthquakes, you have hurricanes and all kinds of calamities that visit certain areas. So Amos is saying that, and they said that these local mishaps, these local disasters, are warnings to all of Israel. We should all take heed of these warnings and return. Israel must prepare to meet its God. Amos 4:12. Who knows our innermost thoughts? God knows what we think. Amos 4:13. Amos indicates that only a tenth of the people will remain. This is possibly referring to the exile of the 10 tribes who represented 9/10. Who represented possibly 90% of the people. And all of them were exiled. Only Judah remained behind. Seek God and live, and do not seek after pagan syncretism or pagan customs or false gods. Amos 5:5. The house of Joseph is being warned. See 5:6. By the house of Joseph, the 10 tribes are intended. Much of your prosperity is dishonest and derived from the oppression of others, and therefore you shall not long enjoy it. Warns Amos 5:11. If you seek good and not evil, you will live, and God will be with you. 5:14. This is an advice. Seek good and not evil, seek to do the right thing, and you will live, you will have life, you have vigor, vitality, you have everything that life, a good life, everything that life involves, everything associated with life, and the Almighty will be with you. Do the opposite, and God forbid the opposite is liable to come upon you. The remnant of Joseph is called upon to hate evil and love the good, and establish judgment in your settlements. See 5:5, Amos 5:15. Your remnant of Joseph is called upon to hate evil and love the good and establish judgment in your settlements. The end times will bring tribulation and should not be hopeful. We all have a tendency, after studying the prophets, etc., to want the evil to come to pass. God forbid, this is human nature. We learn things, we learn this and that will happen, and then we start seeing them coming to pass, and we're happy. You know, the prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes. Not really happy, would we? But there's a certain degree of contentment or self-satisfaction that our interpretations have been correct, as if to say, So God says that this is not good. He is not pleased with this. Your mind is not pleased with this type of attitude, and we should avoid it. Do not be happy when disaster comes upon your people. Do not be happy when disaster comes upon others, even if they deserve it. We should seek to improve. Do what you can to improve yourself. Look at yourself. Do what you can to improve others, to improve the situation in general, and hope for the good of everyone. God is not pleased with us, or with the way we worship. See Amos 5:21. It says that the Israelites worship Sikoth and Kiyon, the types of idols in ancient times. The Israelites were taken into captivity beyond Damascus, 5:27, which we have shown that Damascus refers to an area beyond the Euphrates River, in the area, present-day area of Armenia, what is now called Armenia, in that general region, and not the area of Damascus. There were two cities in ancient times called Damascus, as we have an article on our website discussing this and proving it. And the prophecy can refer to either one of them, dependent on the context. So we understand, and also other commentaries understand. It's not an original idea of ours. We understand that by Damascus, in this case, is referring to the northernmost Damascus, which Ezekiel also referred to when he mentioned it as a marking point for the northern border of Israel. This meant the general region of Armenia, as we show on our website, www.britam.org, britam.org. And you'll find information on this subject and on related subjects and on everything we're talking about, and also the verses that we are quoting. You will be able to look at them and see the explanation, a more detailed explanation concerning them. Amos says that those who dwell in Zion, possibly referring to the present-day Israelites, trust in the mountain of Samaria. That is a trust in the USA, 6:1. We have shown that the mountain of Samaria, the term Samaria often refers to the USA. And Amos is saying that they should not do so, that the calamity will come upon them for doing so. And they are asked to look at the calamities that come upon other nations, 6:2. Amos asked, do you really think you are immune while you wallow in the good life at the expense of others and disregard the affliction of Joseph, meaning the 10 tribes? And all the other 10 tribes, 6:3:6, you shall go into captivity, 6:5. So this is a warning. We don't exactly know what it means. Could have several applications, but we should take note that it's there. It wasn't written for nothing, and it could well apply to us. We hope not, but should not disregard it, should not hide ourselves from its implications, even if it's not pleasant to us. The Excellency of Jacob, meaning the UK and the USA, the UK has a flag called the Union Jack, in other words, the Covenant Union of Yaakov. Jack is short for Yaakov, and the North Americans are nicknamed Yank. Yank is also a form of Jack Yankov, which is short for Yankov, meaning Yaakov, in the Hebrew dialect. So this will come down. We are warned, and see Amos 6:8. There will come a time of mass slaughter, and recalling the name of the Lord will be forbidden. The name, we will be forbidden to call on the name of the God of Israel. See 6:10. We still think we are strong because we have just defeated walkover opponents, 6:13. Nevertheless, a nation will rise against us that will afflict us throughout our border, 6:14. The calamity will be so great there will be a fear that Jacob will never be able to recover. 7:1-5. Nevertheless, God will relent and will leave us something to grow from. In other words, Amos is saying that a great calamity is liable to come upon us. We are liable to be beaten, broken down, and to think that this is the end, we will never be able to rise up again. Nevertheless, a remnant will remain, and from this, salvation will emerge, and we shall recover, somehow or other. Amos was warned to desist from prophesying at Bethel, which is in the capital of the Northern Kingdom. 7:13. He went to Bethel, and they didn't want to hear him. So Amos replied with a prophecy against northern Israel. And he refers to Northern Israel as Israel, or as the house of Isaac. 7:16, this means the Anglo-Saxons. Every name of Saxon derives from Isaac. This is truth. We have proven it. This is an old, actually an old British Israel thing, and people have criticized them and laughed at them for making this etymological deduction. It actually is true. There's something in it. The Saxons really did receive their name from Isaac, and Anglo-Saxon does mean those sons of Isaac associated with the eagle, angle, the bull calf of Joseph, of Ephraim. And we explain this as well elsewhere. There will be going into captivity as prophesied, as well as great slaughter, 7:17. It also says that celestial disturbances will take place, 8:9. There will be things in the heavens, comets, and who knows what, all kinds of things will happen. It will be a time of upheaval, of disturbances. People will seek the truth and not find it, 8:11-12. So this is also the truth. These things we're telling you are important. Now, must you have time, must you have some type of inclination, must you hearing it, follow it up, learn about it. Because it doesn't always come back. You have a certain arousal. I'm certain a lot of you are hearing what we say. Are interested to some degree. So follow up the interest. Take advantage of this turn of your hearts. Follow it up. Learn a little bit more. Learn some more. Take a greater interest, because it will not come back. It may not come back. And Amos is warning us that we should take advantage of our opportunities to learn the Bible and to do good, to draw closer to the Almighty while we can. Amos also says that though you make shelters deep in the earth or send ships out into space, calamity will still overtake you if you do not repent. See 9:2. And he indicates here now, if you send spaceships all over the universe, I don't know, it won't help you. You dig down nuclear shelters, even build cities under the ground, it's not going to help you. That's what Amos warns us. And that's what we're thinking of doing. And this describes the end times. Amos asks, what difference is there between you and other peoples? 9:7. What makes you better than them? The house of Israel will be sifted among the nations like sand in a sieve, and none will be lost. 9:9. The sinners of Israel and those who claim that nothing bad would happen if we continue to sin will be killed. 9:10. Finally, the kingdom of David will be destroyed. Will be restored. The kingdom of David will be restored. It will be rebuilt. It will return. The future Messiah will come, and he will return, and he will rule. The Israelites will take possession of the rest of the world, beginning with Europe, represented by Edom, see 9:12. The exiles of Israel will return after conquering other nations, see 9:14. And after this return, they will never be exiled again, see 9:15. So that's it. And some of what we said has already taken place. Some of it was happened in the time of Amos, or it happened a little bit later. And some of it is, much of it is to happen in our times. It's liable to happen in our times. And even that which happened in the time of Amos, or close to it, to some degree is meant to serve as a prototypical example, as a forerunner, as a foreshadowing of what will come in these times of ours, in these end times. So we should take note of all these things and do as well as we can, and repent and reform ourselves. And I, as much as others, have a lot of repenting to do, and we're not saying we're better than anyone else, and because we aren't. But we're just saying that we should, along with all of you, prepare to do what we can and to do a little bit better than we have been doing. And may God bless all of you and all of us. This is Yair Davidi from New Bambi, Britain Broadcasting Israel. Thank you.